Church family to our midweek Bible study. I hope you're having a great day so far, great week so far. The weather has been fantastic, so praise God for that. And thank you for reminding us again, Beverly, about Charla's mom, the passing of Charla's mom and the Nugent family as they grieve, and also the Elms family as they grieve along with them. I will continue to pray for them. Venice and I have been praying for them this whole week. So I want to pray that God will give them traveling mercies, that they come back here to us safely, and that that everything will go smoothly. I would like to draw your attention to one passage of scripture, actually a few verses out of Psalm 46. Psalm 46. In fact, you know what? Let's read the first 11 verses of Psalm 46. I love this passage so very much, because in it is this encouragement from God to us about his love for us and his protection for us. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And many of you can probably quote some of this. Here beginneth the reading of God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains fall into the midst of the sea, though its waters thereof roar and are troubled, and the mountains quake with their surging or the swelling. There is a river, the river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her at that right early, or the breaking of the day. Nations are in uproar, or the King James says, the heathen rage. Kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, or the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. And then he repeats verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, is our fortress. And my topic tonight is the Holy Spirit gives confidence in difficulty. Confidence in difficulty. Psalm 46 is this beautiful, powerful passage of scripture that is classified as a song of Zion. It's a song that celebrates God's strength, God's ability to defend and protect his people, and his active and ongoing presence in our lives. We sing this psalm as we praise God, because he is with us and powerfully preserves and defends his church and his word against all spirits, all fanatics, against the gates of hell, against all hatred, against the devil, against all the assaults of the world, against everything. God will come to our defense. If you doubt that, I'll tell you a story about a missionary. She's Norwegian by birth, but she was serving in China in the 1950s. Her name is Marie Monsen. She testified to the intervention of God's angels when they were in great danger. This had taken place at the refuge mission that they were serving. The compound was surrounded by enemy soldiers looting and stealing and raping and pillaging the folks of the mission. And they were astonished when they were done that the enemies couldn't breach their mission. And so they left in peace. And so a few days later, some of the soldiers explained that they were ready to tear down the wall, wasn't a very strong wall, But they said that they noticed some very tall soldiers with shining faces on the roof of the compound. And Marie Monson later wrote in her memoir, she said, well, the heathen saw them and it was a testimony to them, but they were completely invisible to us. We did not see them. Amen. And I smiled at that because it reminds us of another story in the Bible where the Lord tells a story that they that are with us are greater than they that are against us, right? We are reminded that the Lord is protecting his people. This story illustrates that while we may not see God protecting us, that doesn't mean he's not protecting us. Right? So the psalm begins with this line, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Then it continues, the next lines give clarification to what that means, saying, because God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear anything. And we go on to read, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, we're not worried. Though its waters roar and are troubled, we're not worried. Though the mountains shake and tremble, we're not worried. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Guess what? God is in the midst of that. And so we're not worried. We're not worried at all. This psalm has 11 verses, and looking at them, in seeing how they describe God's characteristics and attributes, including the fact that he continues to be our refuge, that he is strong and he is present and a great help to those, especially to those who are weak. And then it talks about God's voice. You remember that verse? He uttered his voice, the earth melts. All of creation bows to this God of ours. And in spite of this, many of our believers, people who are staunch believers, who explains and underscores God's promise, right? A lot of us continue to walk around sometimes filled with fear and dread, even though we have this amazing confirmation of the scripture that God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Moses had a complaint. The Bible tells us he had a speech impediment. And when God called him to go to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, he couldn't do it by himself. But with God, he did it. The same could be said of Gideon, who was asked to fight a multitude of the enemy with a tiny army. The Lord asked him to send some of these people home. The Lord wanted to demonstrate to Gideon that I'm able to defend my people. Come on, somebody. Gideon by himself couldn't do it, but with God's help, he did it. Many other examples. Queen Esther, for example, she was asked to risk her life to save her people, the Jews. She couldn't do it on her own. Once again, with God's help, she did it. And I was smiling at young Mary, who was asked to give birth to a king without a history of royalty in her lineage. And she too could not do it on her own. But with God's help, she did it. You see, if we rely on our own strength, our striving will almost always be a lost cause. But let there be no doubt about it. With God's help, we can accomplish pretty much anything we set our minds to. And so we are reminded that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I know this is for somebody out there today. You need to realize, remember that God is with you. God's not far. God is as close, the writer says, as the mention of his name. And if you're in a tough spot today, if you're in a tough spot, you're in some place of stress or difficulty, if you are, I don't know, if the bills are this high, if your marriage is on the rocks, if your children are not behaving, the text we have read gives us confidence. We need to stop trying to do it on our own. Stop worrying so much. Stop fighting on your own. And rest in knowing that all you have to do is reach out and ask God for his help. God's not asleep. He's well aware of your situation. He knows what you're going through. But then he told us, ask and it shall be received. So it is up to us to ask the Lord. I promise you, he will not allow you to be broken. That is his promise to you. He will not put on you anything more than you can bear. And this goes for everybody because we all have difficulty in life. Right now, you may be facing a time of chaos, difficulty, uncertainty on your job, confusion in your family, or maybe some personal crisis like a financial challenge or some health problem. You may be dealing with the pressures of modern life, family, career, children, whatever. I'm here to tell you that regardless of the situation, you can choose to continue to fight on your own ability. You can do, what was it, Frank Sinatra, say he did it his way, or whoever it was that sang that song, I did it my way. Or you can turn to the Lord, put your trust in him 100%, and you can say, Lord, I need your help, because I know, tell him his own words. Tell him his own words. You wrote that God is my refuge and my fortress. You wrote that God is my strength. You wrote that God is my refuge. And he will respond. He will respond. I promise you that he will. The Bible tells us over and over that God desires to empower us to walk confidently through distressing times for his namesake. And so, when we read this psalm and it describes God's character and his willingness to help us in times of trouble, when we read this verse of scripture that says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, or when we read the Lord of hosts is with us, meaning the armies of God is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, our stronghold. At the end, in verse number 10 and 11, the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. Rely on me. Rest in knowing that I got you, right? And I know it's easier said than done, right? A lot of times people have difficulty letting go of their trouble. It seems like they have gotten so used to their trouble, it's become a clutch, right? But in this passage, the psalmist uses some very difficult circumstances. When we read through the verses, he uses earthquakes and other natural disasters as examples of the kinds of tragedies we might face. And though its effects can be long lasting and even terrible, they never are as powerful as God's ability to undo them or to reverse them. In verse 2, he described earthquakes that causes mountains to fall into the midst of the sea. He discusses a tidal wave that rocks the shoreline. In verse 6, he says the nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms were unstable. They sway like they're about to collapse. But then God raised his voice and the earth quaked. We need to always remember that God's in control. God's not asleep. Y'all, God is not asleep. He is aware of our difficult days and he stands ready to jump in and help. But we have to summon him, right? The message of this passage becomes clearer and clearer to me. Whether we are suffering from a major calamity or struggling with everyday common problems, God is sovereign over all things and he will take care of us. So what are your troubles? What's bothering you? Pressure of society, consequences of bad decisions that you've made? Are you struggling with some sort of addiction or emotional weakness? Are you contending with difficult family circumstances? I have a friend that I saw this week that is contending with difficult family circumstances. Are you fighting against other people's unrealistic expectations of you? Is it your job? Is it criticism from others? Turn to God. Turn to God. No matter what the external pressures are, the real battle takes place internally. And folks could tell you all day and all night, but you have to turn to God yourself. Our mind tells us what we should do, but our emotions pull us this way and pull us that way. And it's tempting sometimes to just walk away from difficult and stressful circumstances. And yes, sometimes you will be led into difficult circumstances. But we won't fully escape the pressure by just walking away, because the trouble and contentions are sometimes internal, and we take them with us wherever we go. And here we read verse 10. The Lord says, stop. Just stop doing it. Whatever you're doing, just stop and be still and know that I'm God. In other words, stop attempting to fight life's battle on your own. Instead, choose to rest by trusting in the Lord. In Psalm 68:19, we read a similar text where we read, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Jesus spoke of this verse and this kind of God being behind us, bearing us up. When he said in John 14:27, before he went back up into heaven, he said, you know what? I leave peace with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so we are going to come across stressful, difficult, frightening even, challenges in our walk. And I'm telling you that you are being called to rely on God to strengthen you. No matter what the cause, God will enable you to walk through difficulty victoriously and peacefully. And you can, if you summon the presence of God in your life and not try to do it on your own. So if you ask most Christians today, they will tell you that I have a relationship with God. I know God. And in a sense, they do in their own way. I found that the key to being able to summon God, when I say summon God, I don't want it to sound like God is on speed dial. You know, you can summon him whenever you want and he will just react and respond. We don't command God, right? But I want to give you the sense that God is not far from us. All you have to do is pray, right? And if you pray with your heart in the right place, God will, as he has promised, to respond to your prayer, right? If you want to experience God's peace in the midst of the storms of your life, it will require a relationship with God that goes deeper. We need to get to know him, not only as creator of heaven and earth and the savior of the world, but we need to get to know him as our personal Lord and Savior, one who loves and cares for us as individuals. Do you remember the Apostle Paul's appeal and cry to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3 and 10? He says, oh, that I might know him. Remember that? Oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection. Paul realized that knowing God was the ultimate, and he wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection. And do you know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit. Because later on in Romans 8, Paul writes, But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, quicken your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. So that spirit that he's talking about, that power of his resurrection that he's talking about, is his Holy Spirit. So that's where the rub comes now, right? This is the difficult part of the study. We absolutely need to know Jesus in his Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yeah. In order to truly experience that intimate, responsive, obedient relationship with him, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the confidence to rely on him, comes what may. You will be like the disciples that were not afraid, because we know that he is all loving and all powerful and wants the best for us. Here's what John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23 says. This is when the Lord gave his disciples his Holy Spirit when he was about to go back to heaven. He was sending them out to preach the gospel. And he knew that they would face difficulty and be treated badly. But he said, you know, I'm going to give you my spirit so that you will have the confidence and the power to operate through me. So verse 19 of that chapter says, then, this is John 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, that's important, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, you should be thinking they were hiding, right? The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they were hiding from the Jews. Jesus walked through the walls and came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. And when he had said that, he showed them his hands and his side. Then they were like, okay. The Bible says in verse 20, they were glad when they saw it was him. So Jesus said to them again, my peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, watch this, he breathed on them. This is that spirit, his spirit. He breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. This breath of God is what God blew into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. This breath of God is the same breath that moved upon the face of the waters in the creation story. And God said, let there be. This breath of God is all you need for protection. The God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of the breath of life is our protection. He is our refuge and our fortress. This gives us a powerful picture of the Lord. He is our refuge. He is a place that we can run to in times of trouble. He is our strength when we are weak. He is a very present help in trouble. He is the God of Jacob, our stronghold. And we see in these two verses, verse 7 and verse 11, we also see the name of the Lord used in a powerful way. It translates in verse 7 and 11 to Yahweh or Jehovah. You know that there are many compound names of God. But in this verse, and in Genesis 1, it's the same translation, the same word that translates to Yahweh or Jehovah, which means he is absolute in faithfulness. He's also called here, the Lord of hosts is with us. Meaning the host of the armies of God is with you when you're going through difficult challenges. Just like those Chinese soldiers wanted to attack those missionaries and they saw the host of the armies of God on the rooftops. God wants to walk with each of us in a personal way, ready to fight our battles for us. The word Elohim, which means infinite in power, is that same word used in Genesis 1:1 for the Creator. In other words, we can depend on the one who not only made us and saved us, but he also made the entire universe. There's nothing outside of his ability. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2 gives us a similar image. The psalmist writes, I love you, Lord. Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior, my shield and the horn of my salvation. You are my stronghold. This message is God saying, trust me, rest in me. You don't have to fight the struggle on your own. I will fight for you. We can trust the Lord to be whatever we need him to be. Think of Gideon, the story that I mentioned earlier, when the Lord told him, that's too many soldiers. Send them home. And Gideon was left with 300 out of 30,000. And God said, okay, that's enough. He had to have had God by his back. He had to have had God on his side in order for him to be victorious. So how do we know God like that, where we can pray and feel his presence responding to us? Well, getting to know God, there are books, you know, aplenty written on getting to know God. The first thing I need to tell you is that if you're not praying, you should start. You need to spend time with him in prayer. Find out what he thinks by reading the Bible. Observe God's ways regarding your circumstances and those of others by searching the scripture. Take time to reflect on how he's worked in the lives of others, biblical figures, again and again. Consider Jesus, how he walked with inner peace during his difficult days on earth. Then be transparent with the Lord in your prayer when you confess your sins and faults. Let him know how you really feel. Tell him your fears. And then take time to listen to his voice speaking into your spirit, because he does do that. And then watch how the Lord maneuvers victory for you in your difficult times. And then remember them. Understand his ways, and he will correct you in love and redirect you through his will. But make sure that your idea of God aligns with the Bible's description of him. You remember what Pastor Nate preached last week about making sure that you are aligned with God? Make sure that you are in alignment with what God is doing. Get into what God is doing, right? Because there's no friend like him. No one can quiet our spirits or lift us out of distress like he can. And when you get to know him, you can thrive in any situation. So I want to encourage you all. And I'm closing. I want to encourage us all, including myself. In most situations, we generally have two choices. If we come into a difficult struggle, difficult challenge, some personal obstacle, we have two choices. We either choose to struggle by ourselves, or we choose to involve the Lord in our struggle. When we do this later one, when we involve God in our difficulty, when we trust God to guide us and help us make decisions and to ultimately to resolve the situation, you are giving him free reign in your life. And that's what he wants. If you want a glimpse of God, if you want a glimpse of God in your life, a beautiful lake doesn't reflect anything, but a calm lake mirrors the heavens, right? It is vitally important to quiet yourself before the Creator and ask Him to show Himself to you, reveal Himself to you. Like Moses was like, listen, we're out here in this desert. Show me your glory. And if you want to get, if you get to that place where you're desperate and you want to get out of a state of inner turmoil and you're seeking rest in the Lord, you're seeking protection from the Lord, then you tell Him, show me your glory, Lord. And He will give you His strength, His power, His spirit, which will enable you to face anything confidently and victoriously. Not only that, but you will come out of the trial knowing Him better and loving Him more. And you will find that your confidence in God goes way up. One of the reasons why we struggle so often is because we're not allowing God to fight our battles. And so we don't know what God is capable of on our behalf. Let your confidence in God go up by inviting Him into your challenge, inviting Him into your difficult decisions, and watch Him work on your behalf. Amen. That's all I have. I wanted to encourage you with Psalm 46. After this, you can, you know, sit down with your family and reread it and see what kind of resonance it has in your spirit. And I pray that the Lord will bless you with the word again and again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come worship with us. Thank you.